just so good to be together. Wasn't that just absolutely beautiful? I think we could give them another round of applause. I love it. Got goosebumps. Thank you. Well, today we are here on a Sunday where it kind of feels like nothing new is happening, but at the same time, it feels like something new has happened. We are here to tell the story that we have heard so many times before. And before we get into that, I wanted to ask you a question, and I'm actually asking for your feedback. You can shout it back, okay? What are some of your Easter traditions?
Butterland.
What?
Butterland.
I thought you said Waterland, and I didn't. It's like a water park? That's bold. I like it. Yeah. Buttered lamb. I love it. What else?
Cadbury eggs.
Cadbury eggs. Did somebody just say meat? Just to eat. All right. That's good. We know you meant meat, and this is good. Bunny cake. How about the little chocolate Easter bunnies, right? Little chocolate bunnies. Who starts with the ears? Yeah. Anybody start with the face? Yeah, you can't tell us about that. We'd have to call the police. That's right. Yeah, we have so many traditions. It's a wonderful thing to be together. I've shared this with a few of you, but my wife usually makes this wonderful meal for lunch as a part of our Easter celebration, and she asked me this past month, she was like, on Easter Sunday, would you like to go out for a brunch? And my husband's spidey senses started tingling, and I was like, I'm in a trap, right? I don't know. So I thought what she was wanting to hear was, no, sweetheart, you make such a great meal. Everybody loves it. People come from miles around. We would love to have this meal that you normally make. And as I said things like that, I could see in her eyes that wasn't exactly what she wanted to hear. Have you seen that before? Can I get an amen? That's right. And so I was like, or we could go out for brunch. And she literally went, yes, because she didn't want to have to cook. I was thinking back over some of our traditions. We have our family traditions, and I was thinking back on just some fun memories from growing up. And I've shared this in the past, but I'll share it again because some of you weren't here, maybe one of you, so that gives me license to tell it again. But we would gather as a family in South Georgia down in Baxley, and hey, Mom, if you're watching, and we would have an Easter egg hunt. But we didn't believe in plastic Easter eggs in South Georgia. I don't know. We would take the real Easter eggs and we would dye them, and we would spend all day just spilling dye in the house, right? And so we would take these Easter eggs and we would go out and we would hide them in the morning, and then we would have our lunch, and then we would release all the kids and all the children at heart as well. We'd go out and find these Easter eggs. Now, when we were little, it was just about finding the most eggs. But as we got older and as we played more baseball, it became about throwing those eggs and hitting each other, right? And I don't know if you've ever been hit with a hard-boiled egg, but it'll wake you up in the morning, right? Right? And down in South Georgia, we had pine trees, and we had tons of pine trees. And I don't, you've seen pine trees before. There's like seven of them in Tennessee. But they're tall and they're skinny, and so people would run behind the pine tree. And then if they had never played before, they would bend over like this. But the pine tree would only cover this much, and both ends would stick out, and then you just got to choose where you threw it. But the pride of the day was if you found the egg or eggs that was left over from last year. Yeah, those were the money. And every year, like, we didn't care about that egg that had a dollar in it anymore. That was for the little kids. We wanted that rotten egg. To use the words when they spoke of Lazarus, it stinketh. Right? And so we would go find this resurrected egg. What was once dead was definitely alive now. Right? And we would hold it. We would know it was it because it got a little soft. And we would know it and we would stick it in our pocket like nobody so they wouldn't know we had it. And then at the moment of just perfect divine intervention, we would hit somebody in the head with it. And the rest of the day, they would stinketh. Right? And my mom still barely talks to me. Forgetting her. But as we get together, we love to tell the stories, don't we? And we have such fun together as a family. Here's a church family out Easter egg hunting and having our early service and the pastry breakfast. The sunrise was just absolutely beautiful, and the barrel choir played, and it was fantastic. And Tanglewood and the folks over there, they were just great to us. We have these great, you have wonderful Easter traditions, and we tell this story that we know. We gather together, and for some, it can become this moment of nostalgia, or it's the moment that your mama made you come to. And we're just excited that you're here. We don't care. It's great, right? But is it, we have to ask ourselves this morning, is Easter really just the same old story? And I know because the preacher's asking you, you can tell the answer that I wanted to give. It was kind of like the conversation I had with my wife. I'm just slower than you, right? Is this the same old story? And the answer is if we came for nostalgia and the way things have always been, then yes, the same old story will do. But the honest answer, the deep answer, the real answer of Easter Sunday is that this is not the same old story. Even though it's the same story, the living need resurrection most of all. This is Resurrection Sunday. It's not the tomb is empty Sunday. It's not Jesus came back Sunday. Today is Resurrection Sunday, and resurrection has come for the dead and the living. It is here for you and for me. Now, I'm going to share from Mark this morning. We're going to start with verses. This is Mark chapter 16. We're going to start with verses 1 through 8, or we're just only going to do 1 through 8. I promise you're okay. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" Now, I want to pause right there for a second. I love this moment because I can feel the humanity of it. They are going to see their friend's dead body. They are going to do their duty. They want to do it because it's supposed to be done, but I can guarantee you they don't want to do it. You know what I mean? They wish they didn't have to do it, but they certainly don't want to go and see their friend after he's been laying in the tomb for a couple of days and unwrap him and see their body and what they did to him. And as they rub the spices on, they're going to relive every moment of what had gone on, and they're going to remember, and they're going to cry, and they are going to weep. They may even go outside and throw up. And what are they talking about? Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us? Do you ever get distracted by the details? That's so easy for us to do, especially when we're doing church work on a getting ready for a Sunday. Who's going to set up the sound? Who's going to go here? Who's going to do this? Are we going to have the lights on? Did somebody turn the air conditioning down? There's going to be a lot of hot breath in there. We love to get distracted by the details. And if we are not careful on Resurrection Sunday, whether it's the pot roast or the stinky egg or the trip we've got to make, if we're not careful, we will be distracted by the details. When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been already rolled away, and they add for us in parentheses, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go and tell his disciples," especially Peter. Now this verse makes me think Peter wrote this, right? They're like, "Go tell the disciples, especially Peter, who's now in charge of all of you." I added that part. "That he is going ahead of you into Galilee," meaning Jesus is going ahead of you into Galilee. "You will see him there just as he told you." They seem to have forgotten what they had been told, a little lost in the details. Overcome with terror and dread, they fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love this scripture. You see, in John, we get to kind of have a look at the resurrection story in that morning through the emotional side of Mary. And we shared that this morning down at Easter sunrise. But here in Mark is all about immediacy. What happens next? If you want to read a gospel, the best one to read is Mark because it's the shortest. Everything happens immediately, and they jump from scene to scene to scene. And so here we are. We're not given those little details that might matter in everyday life. We're just given the quick hitters. You came, the stone was gone. There was a guy. He said, "Jesus isn't here." We left. And then we are told that they were terrified. But in the midst of her grief, she encountered an angel. And it took her courage to encounter the risen Christ. We see that in John and in Luke. You see, the truth of Easter is not that it did happen or that it once was. The truth of Easter is that resurrection is happening now. And that it will again, and that it continues too. And even though it's happened in your soul before, it can happen again. Even though you may think your life is at a place where resurrection is really not possible, it can be. Is it for those who have gone ahead of us into glory? Absolutely. Is it a promise that we lean on and we can't wait to experience? Absolutely. But I'm going to wait to get there. I don't know about you. I got some things to take care of now. But in this life, in this moment, in today, no matter who wins an election, no matter who wins March Madness, no matter what's going on in your life, resurrection is possible for you. You see, we're not here because 2,000 years ago someone died, and we're not even here just because they came back to life. We are here because resurrection is happening. Just as Jesus told about Lazarus, your sickness will not end in death. Now, it's easy to look back on that and to think of it metaphorically, but we're here to say your sickness will not end in death. May we pass through death to get to life again? Absolutely. Your pain will not be the last thing you experience. Your sin will not end in death. Your mistake will not end in death. Your relationship or lack thereof will not end in death. Your debt will not end in death. It's probably going to hang around. There's federal laws about that. But you will not have to pay it later. Your grief will not end in death. Your regret, your shame, your secret will not end in death. My friends, today we get to celebrate not that a historical event occurred, but that resurrection is here. That peace is a person, not an event. That we get to live a resurrected life. That we no longer are subject to sin and death. That we are no longer subject to our temptations or our nature or our instincts. That we get to be a resurrected people. My friends, today we celebrate that darkness cannot win. Do you hear that? It's not that it didn't, and it's not that it won't. It's that it cannot win. The darkness is just the absence of light. It's not even an actual thing. It will not. It cannot. It was never going to. It is not, and it never will be winning. It's over. Jesus won. We won. But for us who are here, once you've seen the empty tomb, once you've experienced resurrection, whether it was an event we watched or we read about or we heard somebody talk about, but hopefully it's an event that's happened in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, in your relationships, in your life, in your sickness, in whatever it may be. Once you've experienced resurrection, you can no longer sit idly by. Death will no longer conquer our tomb. My tomb is already empty. Your tomb is already empty. We will gather to celebrate the life that you have lived, and we will lay you to rest, and we will sing all the songs, and we will have a great time, but you are not there. Because of today, because of resurrection. And when we are celebrating, and we don't call them funerals, we call them services of death and resurrection, but what we are really celebrating is that you led a resurrected life now. That's why there will be people there. We love that it happened someday. But I don't know if you've read about Jesus. Jesus wasn't for someday. Jesus was for now. Jesus wasn't for then. Jesus is for now. Our tomb is already empty. We love saying this, but I just want you to hear it this morning. The worst thing will never be the last thing. I want you to feel that in your souls. Now, I know that at times it's hard to remember that. I remember when they walked into my little waiting room at the doctor's office and said brain cancer. It was hard to remember that the worst thing will never be the last thing. But I hope that we can hold on to that little truth in our pockets for when those moments show up, to remember that the last thing will not be, or excuse me, the worst thing will never be the last thing. Well, I guess the last thing will never be the worst thing. That works too. I was right. See? My friends, our new life has already begun. It began 2,000 years ago. It began again this morning. But see, the point of resurrection is that it begins every day. It begins all the time. It can begin in that relationship that you thought would never get right. It can begin in that moment of regret and shame that you're never going to tell anyone about. It can sprout from there. As a matter of fact, that's the fertile soil that resurrection really grows out of. It can begin in your life in all kinds of ways. And one day we will get to experience the fullness of it. But I don't plan on that being today. But we get to be resurrected while we're living. But again, just like the disciples, they got to sit idly by for a little while. But once you have experienced resurrection, you know that it was meant for the whole world. For God so loved the whole world, the cosmos, all of creation, that he sent his only son. When we go from this place, I want you so bad to experience resurrection. But I also want you to know that you are supposed to help others experience the same thing by loving them, by caring for them, not by beating them over the head or forcing them into your ideological views, by sharing your story, and by living like you are already resurrected, because then you will be. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful for all that you do for us. We are grateful that we get to be a resurrected people. We are grateful that the worst thing will never be the last thing. Lord, help us to live as a people who are already resurrected. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you that you rose from the grave. Thank you that you are the light that the darkness can never, will never, has never conquered. And forgive us when we forget that and we give up to despair. Help us to be a resurrected people. In your son's name we pray. Amen.